Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is a big game for one Cavalier in particular. We'll tell you who right after this. Sebastian Maniscalco. You can win tickets to him to the It Ain't Right Tour. Friday, February 7th, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Just enter the word Queens. Q-U-E-E-N-S. Queens. Is that your favorite borough of New York?
Oh, wow. It's top five for sure.
Enter Queens by the end of the hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win. It's all from Live Nation and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Sebastian Maniscalco. It Ain't Right Tour. You can go see it by entering the code word 92.3thefan.com. This is a big game for one Cavalier in particular. Been telling you all hour. We got Justin Termini at 7:20. The Cavalier, in particular Lima, in this game between the 31-4 Cleveland Cavaliers and the 30-5 Oklahoma City Thunder is who, Anthony?
Darius.
Darius Garland.
Yeah, Darius has been so good this year.
Why?
It has been so much fun to watch him and, quite frankly, be wrong about him. Because I was very worried. I had him in every trade machine. Every single way I could try to figure out a way that we could get wings by trading Darius Garland, I was doing that in the offseason. And supposedly, according to reports, I mean, I wasn't alone. Maybe the Cavs were looking too, because there was a lot of chatter about potential trades surrounding Darius. Unfortunately, his value had bottomed out.
And well, remember, we heard that there was a rumor that he was going to ask for a trade after the season.
Right,
If Donovan was to sign his extension, which was BS.
And fortunately for the Cavs, that he did bottom out and nobody did really want him, or they couldn't really make a deal work, because he has been sensational this year. I mean, I think you make the argument he has been not only playing at a career level, I mean, does he not look like a top five point guard in
looks
the entire
amazing.
NBA?
I mean, he looks amazing.
Does he not look like maybe, this
he
almost
looks
seems,
amazing.
You know, poor man Steph. I don't even know if that's fair to Darius. I mean, it seems like he's been better than that. Mm-hmm. So the guy shot the ball, lights out from start to finish. 43% for three-point range, by far a career best for him. But also not really turning the ball over like he is accustomed to. Not making those bad decisions. And it seems like he's a step ahead of the defenses. And really the only terrible game he's had this year was the game where he went up against Boston in that first Boston game. And it seemed like they were coming at him in waves. And they are the one team that has the perimeter defenders to do it. The other team, Oklahoma City. And they play them tonight. No Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
He is out, and he is one of the peskiest defenders in the league. So that's good. That's good for both him and Donovan Mitchell. They've also got a rookie that's been sensational defensively. He's not playing in the game either. And then no Chet. So not that that would have mattered nearly as much. That matters more for Evan Mobley.
Don't like the name Chet.
But this is still going to be a test, because this is the other team that has all the great perimeter defenders. Two teams have them. Two teams have all the perimeter defenders, Boston and Oklahoma City. So it's no surprise both Boston and Oklahoma City are the favorites to get to the NBA Finals this year.
They have a very interesting schedule coming up. I mean, they have Oklahoma City here, then Toronto, Indiana, then at Oklahoma City on the 16th, then Minnesota. Phoenix is not the Phoenix that we're used to here over the last few years.
He's benched Beal.
Houston has been great. What's the thing about the no trade clause or whatever? He might waive it or something like that. So it's not very good in Phoenix. So that's not on Martin Luther King Day. That is not the type of matchup that we thought it was going to be at home against the Phoenix Suns. 76ers, you know, they're trying to crawl out of the hell. You got Houston coming. I mean, you got this weird schedule coming up where there's a couple of games that I think are kind of measuring stick games. And I go back to the first game against Boston. You mentioned this yesterday on the phone, and I go back to that first game against Boston. I remember my mentions during that game, and it was very anti-Darius Garland. And I went, Judas Priest, you guys start off that well. You have one game, didn't go his way against Boston, which you made it a competitive, a really good game towards the end. He didn't give up on that game. And I'm seeing all the nasty stuff about Darius. Now, that was, it feels like it was eons ago. That first game was on November 19th. That's before Thanksgiving. That's last year. Maybe the people's thoughts have changed now that you've had more of a season where it's like, hey, man, this is a good basketball player again. This is a guy that is a core four type of player for your future. But I do worry that if they go out there and he struggles tonight, even if they win, it'll be less. But if they go out there and he struggles tonight against Oklahoma City and they lose, like tomorrow, then it becomes the DG stuff. Because I think people have their guys on certain teams they like to beat up on. They like to say are overrated. And you're not going to go after Donovan Mitchell. You're not going to want to go after Evan Mobley, maybe a little bit for some people. Jared Allen, I think, is such a good player and such a plumber of a player, you don't need to worry about it. We've done it with the Guardians. We certainly do it with the Browns. I think that Darius is the guy for the Cavaliers. I think you're 100% right. This is a prove-it game for him, even with some of the injuries, where if he goes out there, he fills it up, puts up 25-plus, they win the game. I think the conversation gets even better with him coming up tomorrow morning.
Well, yeah, and it's like could be a breakthrough moment. It's not that I don't – I mean, the Cavs can beat Oklahoma City. They certainly can. These two teams are – do we get a point spread, Mitch? Do we have a point spread on tonight's game?
Would you take them – now, I've only seen Oklahoma City a handful of times, and I told you I saw them last – or over the week I was off, right? What was the spread?
2.5.
For who?
Cleveland.
We are favored.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
I said at the beginning of the year when they were going on the original streak that if they beat Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, mm-hmm. they would win the NBA Finals. You were surprised. Would you believe that now?
Still too early to tell. I mean, Oklahoma City is really, really good, and they're doing this without Chet. They're doing this without their Evan Mobley. So that's what's incredible about them, and they've been the best drafting team in the NBA. They still have like 20 draft picks to trade, too. They still could make their team better, depending. So both teams have the brightest future in the league right now, it looks like, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you'd have to say that. The only thing is both these teams haven't really done it in the playoffs. You know, neither of these teams have been able to do it. Now basically everybody is saying, especially with Luka injured, Kyrie injured, Dallas, you know, was the team that came out of the West last year. I can't find anybody that doesn't think Oklahoma City is going to be the team to come out of the West. They look like they are head and shoulders above the rest of the teams out there.
Yeah, they look fantastic over there. And again, I haven't seen them as much as you have this year. I've been able to see them a handful of times, and they do look like they're the real deal over there. But I also think there's another point to it where Darius Garland, in the post game on Sunday after Charlotte, he had mentioned, you know, the guy's not necessarily taking them seriously around the league. The pundits, inside the NBA stuff, things like that. And maybe the word disrespect gets thrown around. Here's Darius Garland in the post game on Sunday after the win over the Hornets.
Don't know why. I wish I had an answer to that, because I think that we deserve to have the recognition of being the best team in the league, especially with the group that we have, the brand of basketball that we play. I think it's really exciting. I think it's fun. I think it's actual great basketball, and it should be shown a lot more. It should be just really out there, in my opinion. But I guess a small market, that's the only thing I can really think of, to be honest with you.
What makes Darius interesting, he is an undersized guard. You went and you traded for another undersized guard. A lot of people don't believe that would be a recipe for success. It's been very successful. But anytime people have had a chance to beat up on Darius Garland, they have taken that and they have ran with it. If he goes out and doesn't play well tonight, and he doesn't play well against Houston, if he doesn't play well, you know, the next time they play Boston, or he doesn't play well against the Knicks, then you get this empty calorie argument. And then it's statements like that people attack. Because you and I talked about it yesterday. I don't think they're disrespected. I think that people disrespect the league. I think they're bored by the league. But we're watching a 31-4 basketball team. I'm having a blast, and I think every Cavs fan is. But if they win tonight and he plays well, and he continues to play well against the Knicks, against the Celtics, against, as I told you, Houston just a second ago, he plays well against those teams, then yeah, you know what? I start to believe Darius to go, give us our respect. Because every team wants to be an underdog. Every team wants to feel that they're disrespected. Doesn't matter. They'll create it. They'll say it. Doesn't matter. I want to feel that way towards Darius because it's been a fight over these last few years. Are the Cavaliers a better team with Darius Garland? This year, there's no question. No question. But there does feel to a lot of fans that there's more teams willing to roll over and die than there have been in the past. And because like the NBA Cup and the different scheduling there, we've had a few of those teams on the schedule more than we thought we were going to have.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. You have three teams, and Boston has slipped a little bit. But you have three teams, Boston and Oklahoma City and the Cavs, that have all the wins. I mean, they're beating everybody. And now the Cavs, what's most impressive is they are destroying teams. They're not just beating teams. And they're doing it on a West Coast trip. When can you ever in your lifetime remember any Cavs team, especially the ones, the best we've ever had with LeBron? We would wake up in the morning and go, oh, they did that against Sacramento. You know, one year
LeBron
matter.
Took the West Coast trip off, right?
he would periodically take his time away. So they are rewriting a lot of the record, certainly the team record books, they are rewriting. And when you get to this stage where you are 31-4, and man, Oklahoma City is 30-5, when you get to this stage, there's really not much to doubt them except what they haven't accomplished yet. Well, that's all playoff stuff for both these teams. So notice, ESPN flexed into this game tonight. Oklahoma City and the Cavs next week got flexed by TNT. You're getting that respect now. Now, I tried to think about this. What would the Cavs record have to be where people would actually pick them over Boston? And I don't know that it exists. Like, maybe if the Cavs won 74 games... Which is that what they're on pace to do right now?
78-4.
If they went 78-4,
would people pick them over the Celtics?
I still think most people would pick Boston, and they'd say it's why. The playoffs are different. The level of physicality is different. That'd be something, right? I mean, my God. And the fact that Cavs, it's not like they're just Johnny tryhards for 48 minutes a night. They're not playing in the fourth quarters of a lot of these games.
Atkinson
is doing a great job of getting the bench guys in. Look at the Knicks
guys.
Guys are playing 40 minutes a night.
Yes. You can play your ass off and you're still not going to be able to shoot 40% from 3 and lead the league the entire year from long range.
Now here's the other interesting thing. So
the Thunder
are coming off a win over the Celtics who were pretty much fully healthy in that last game. Do you know what they held Boston to in the second half?
Hmm.
I'm looking at the box score right now. 27 points.
That's right.
So they are going to defend you. Mm-hmm. They are going to make life uncomfortable. So these easy forays to the basket that the Cavs get against the Hornets, not happening tonight. They're going to have to earn it. But with that said, Vegas has them favored. Yeah. They're at home. That place is going to be rocking. This is going to be an awesome showcase for both these teams, really. But I think it's going to be an even more awesome showcase because what if Darius goes out there and goes 5-7 from 3 and limits the turnovers and handles all that pressure? And then Evan Mobley should have a huge advantage tonight. Because, again, they don't have Chet. He should feast in tonight's game. As long as he doesn't get a little slippery with the basketball, handling the basketball, he should dominate tonight. You imagine if they win maybe an easy one, maybe a convincing one?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, what are we going to be saying about this team?
That will change
tomorrow?
The conversation about them. I don't have to give a pep talk to this sworn enemy. Justin Termini joins us, SiriusXM NBA Radio, the NBA Today. You can hear him in the afternoons if you so choose. At Termini Radio on Twitter. Justin, good morning to you. And first off, do the Cavaliers have your attention and your respect as a national NBA pundit?
Well, the Cavaliers had my attention and respect even heading into the season because I was a guy that had them second in the conference heading in. So I thought they would be the 2 seed ahead of teams like Philadelphia that being hyped, the Knicks who were Milwaukee that was being hyped. The only team that I had them behind was the Boston Celtics, and right now they're ahead of them. But I don't think anybody had them ahead of the Celtics at this point. So I think I was relatively high on the Cavaliers compared to most of the country.
So I love hearing that. I love hearing that. When you hear about Darius Garland, though, what's your thoughts that come to your mind?
I think he's a borderline all-star, right? I mean, it's only Donovan Mitchell who's on his own team and Jalen Brunson, I think, in the Eastern Conference that are ahead of him. And after that, you can argue he's right there as that third guy because you have to get multiple all-stars if you're Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. So now the only question is it going to be Darius Garland? Is it going to be Evan Mobley? Or is it going to be Jared Allen, right? So those three, because Mitchell's definitely going. And, there was talk about breaking up that team, right? And maybe Garland wanting out, and whether that was coming from his camp, whether it was coming just from the media, I think there was some fire to it because there was some smoke with his agency wanting him out. And it's a good thing that they didn't break up because I think he fits into the backcourt rather well with Donovan Mitchell.
What would the Cavs' record have to be for most to actually pick them to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals?
I don't know. I don't know what it would have to be because you remember.
Does it exist? Is there a record that exists?
Well, I think there's a record where there's pressure on them where if they lose, it's a failure, right?
No, that's different. That's different, Justin. Yeah, saying is there anything that the Cavs can do in the regular season for people to realistically choose them over a healthy Boston Celtics team?
Well, so that's what I was going to say is remember last year, Boston won 64 games and people were still going, oh, well, Miami always gives them trouble. Maybe Miami can upset them again. They get to the finals and I think like you look at ESPN, I think a majority of their people, including intelligent ones, not just the people that are like throwing crap against the wall, but guys like Tim Legler were picking Dallas to win. So I don't know if that number exists. No, I think Boston would probably still be favored, which is a good thing. I mean, I think that's a good thing for a team like Cleveland is to not have that pressure on them from the public. Like Boston will deal with that.
Justin Termini with us right now on the hotline. It seems like every coach the Cavs go up against, whether it's Steve Kerr, whether it's with the Lakers. Help me out. Redick. Whether it's any of these coaches, they all say the same thing after the game. Impossible to guard. Play the game the right way. You have to play almost perfect to beat them. Why can't that be the way it is in the postseason? Why does it seem like this is confined just to analysis about the Cavs in a regular season?
No, I mean, I think maybe because of what we saw 2 years ago, right, where it was, them saying they were through the moment was too big for them. Last year, obviously, there were some injuries, and I think that's one of the reasons that they were easily handled by the Celtics. But I think that's probably what it just comes down to is like, hey, show us in the postseason. Again, it's just like Boston last year. They had to deal with, hey, show us in the postseason that this same style works. And I think we do know from watching NBA basketball, historically, like there's a difference in the way that the game is played in the regular season compared to the postseason. For example, I think the top 3-point shooting team in the league. Is that going to fall in the postseason? Just like we had that question with the Celtics, when your legs get a little bit more tired, you're relying on the 3-point shot. Now, I think they're a little different than Boston because I think they also have guys that can score in the paint and score in different ways, whereas Boston now just seems to be hucking up a million threes.
You wanted to ask a question. I'm sorry. Justin Termini joining us on the show. The growth of Evan Mobley. Can you tell me, is he, like you mentioned, all-star? Is it an either-or with him and Darius Garland, or is he a bona fide all-star?
I mean, I think they could probably both end up making it. I picked him to be the most improved player at the beginning of the year, and I think he can be in that conversation. I mean, but I don't know if it's just that he has improved as much as that they're allowing him to play that way, right? Because one of my few knocks on J.B. Bickerstaff, who's doing a good job and fortunate for him, because he'd probably be taking a lot of crap if this team was playing like this and he didn't have a job right now, but he's, covered for himself nicely because Detroit's playing so well. Mm-hmm. But one of my minor criticisms of him, I guess, the last couple of years is just not involving him in the offense as much. And I think that Kenny Atkinson is doing a lot better job of that this year. And I would pick Mobley over Darius Garland as my other all-star just because of what he does to the defense, right? You guys are one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, and he's obviously your best defender. So I would, if I had to pick between the two and you could only get two all-stars, it would be Mitchell and Mobley.
Well, what has Kenny done to play more into the strengths of Evan Mobley? Because I go back a couple of years ago and it was like, hey, we're going to make Evan force up shots whether he wants to. I mean, Jason Lloyd and I got into knockdown, drag out, cuss out matches over three balls by Evan Mobley and taking threes, and it was a big thing about JB making sure that Evan finds his confidence on the offensive end, but I've never seen him play this confidently, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're taking more, he's taking more threes, right? I believe that's up significantly. He's probably like doubling it this year. And then the other thing is, I think it's not what they've done to Evan Mobley. I think it's what they've done to Donovan Mitchell. And I'd be interested.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting to know what like the conversation was between Kenny Atkinson and Mitchell that got him to play this way. Because my criticism, as you knew when I was doing that whole like Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell thing back in Utah, which I still stand by, is Donovan Mitchell tried to do everything by himself. And I felt like he tried to do that, out in Cleveland the first couple of years. I think he's involving his teammates more and has more trust in them. So, you know, good for him, good for Kenny Atkinson for forcing him to play that way or convincing him, I guess, to play that way. But I think it's just a case of Donovan Mitchell allowing his teammates to do more this year.
So as you would sit right now, Cavaliers NBA Finals against maybe Oklahoma City, is this an NBA Finals preview? Is it crazy to say such a thing then?
Oh, it's definitely not crazy. They're off, two historic starts. I mean, would I still favor Boston maybe fully healthy in a playoff series against Cleveland? I'd have to think about that a little bit more and see the way the rest of the season goes. Because I will say this, we were talking about this on the show yesterday, and it's not to take anything away from Cleveland, because we've had a million fully healthy teams, right, that have never done what the Cavs are doing right now. But Donovan Mitchell, I think, has missed one. The top four guys have missed a combined four games, right? That rarely happens, and that's certainly not going on with Oklahoma City right now, who's had Chet Holmgren out for a significant amount of time. And it's certainly not going on with Boston, who's missing Porzingis for a majority of the season. Jaylen Brown has missed a couple of games here or there. Derek White missed last night. So they've been far more banged up. Now, again, that doesn't mean that Cleveland can't continue to carry this over into the postseason. But, I wouldn't necessarily – like, I put them ahead of the Knicks. Last time I checked in Vegas a couple of days ago, the Knicks had better odds than the Cavs to come out of the Eastern Conference. My co-host Eddie Johnson thinks the Knicks are more dangerous to the Celtics than Cleveland. I disagree with that. I think the Cavs are far more dangerous. Yeah, Eddie thinks that. Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 65. His body is 65. His mind's about 7.
Yeah, you gotta find a new host then.
I've been saying that for 10 years, and I started working with him 10 years
ago. Well, I've just recently now agreed with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Justin, we have been flexed. The Cavs have been flexed into the national spotlight tonight and next week on TNT. So a little late to the party, but better late than never. With all of that said, there's been so much talk about the push of the Lakers and the Warriors. Neither team has a chance to win the championship this year. Teams like Oklahoma City, teams like Cleveland, we already know about Boston. Do you think you are going to see a push for teams like this? By the way, Cavs, American superstars, American players, American all-stars. I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is technically Canadian, but we'll say North America.
North America.
North America. And Who knows? By the end of this administration, might be part of America, so we can claim them as our own. Boy, we're going to have an even better team. Gulf of Mexico is changing. Panama Canal. Yeah. Here we go, Justin. Here we go.
Let's go.
You know, Canada pulling a LeBron where, they can't handle their own business, so they got to join the United States to win. He does the same thing his entire career.
So what I'm getting at is this a push that is going to work? Do you see this resonating with more and more people? Can this grow the sport? Or is Darius Garland right when he says, I guess we're small market. I guess people aren't really going to pay attention.
Well, the NBA's got to help out on it, right? Because you look at Christmas Day, Cleveland didn't play. And again, Cleveland's a little bit more surprising. Not surprising to me. Again, I had him as the second seed heading into the year. But Oklahoma City wasn't surprising. Oklahoma City didn't play on Christmas Day. So you got to do a better job, I think, of marketing them for sure, because they're going to be around for the next decade. And just look at this past weekend. I mean, you had Wembanyama going up against Jokic, and they did it on back-to-back nights. Those might have been the two best individual matchups of the entire season. I don't know if you caught them. Awesome games, right? The best player in the sport right now, and Jokic going up against the next all-time great. They played the same position. Neither won on national television. They should have had the foresight for that. Then you got the Thunder that went through a stretch of playing the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers, three of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Not one of them was on national television at the beginning of the year. They did flex the Cavs' Thunder game, thank God. So they didn't do a good job with that over the last couple couple of days. I will give them credit. I don't know if you guys think this. I think they're hyping this game up a ton. ESPN, the NBA, like Twitter feed, they're throwing a bunch of stuff out there. So I think they are doing a good job at hyping Thunder and Cavs, and hopefully it lives up to the billing. And hopefully the ratings tonight are good so they can be proven that, hey, we can have two teams from small markets that play really good basketball that people will tune into. But I guess that'll be answered in the next couple of days once the ratings for tonight come out.
Well, Justin, they have to. I mean, people have been dumping on the league all year, and it's a weird thing for Cavs fans because it's like, hey, man, we love what's going on. We're shooting the lights out. We're 31-4, and everybody's like, the league's not that great, and I ain't watching like I was. And I'm like, well, I guess it sucks to be you. Do you think that there's a problem with the league right now, and do you think they need to make changes?
I don't think there's a problem. I certainly don't think it's with the media. We got J.J. Redick. Oh, the media doesn't cover us the right way. Well, for example, the other day I wanted to start off with there was a great game. It was a Celtic game they had played the night before against the Timberwolves, and it was Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum going back and forth. It was a close game. I think it ended up being a 3-point game, 118-115. I wanted to start the show off the next day and talk about that great game. I wanted to be positive, right? What did I have to do? I had to talk about that spoiled brat down in Miami who's making $50 million but hasn't had any joy and can't be bothered to play and is demanding trades. And is that the media's fault that I had to start off with that, or is that Jimmy Butler, a spoiled player's fault? But J.J. Redick won't blame the players, and the players do hold some accountability for why the sport maybe ratings are down. But J.J. Redick's pointing at the media. I wanted to be the positive that day. I couldn't because Jimmy Butler's a spoiled brat. There are issues that have to be filtered through. But hopefully the Jimmy Butler situation over the next couple of days, because it's going to continue to be a story, don't overshadow a great game tonight.
Justin Termini. Whoa, coming in hot.
J.J. Redick should be happy that the media only covers, like, the big markets and stupid stories and drama, because if they didn't, they would never talk about his team.
I do want to ask you a question about Oklahoma City. You mentioned that Chet is not there, but it hasn't stopped them, obviously, from amassing this incredible record. Is this box score accurate? They only gave up 27 points to the world champion Boston Celtics, the healthy Boston Celtics in the second half, the last time Oklahoma City played. What is it about their defense that is so suffocating?
Well, I mean, they're the best three-point shooting defense in the NBA, and Boston basically only shoots threes, so that's a part of it, although Boston did attack the rim in the first half and take advantage of their size. I mean, they got all NBA defenders all over the place, and the scary thing about that is they didn't even have Alex Caruso or Chet Holmgren out there in that game, and Chet was their representative for, like, the best odds to win Defensive Player of the Year from that team. And Alex Caruso, we know, is a guy that's capable of making all defensive teams. So, yeah, their defense, I mean, that defensive performance in the second half against Boston is the best defensive performance I think I've seen in, you know, a decade.
Justin Termini, NBA Today, Sirius XM. Find him on Twitter at Termini Radio. Hey, I know your Instagram got hacked. Your dog good?
My dog is well.
Wait, what did you do? Hold on, forget the dog. What did you do to get hacked? Everybody always acts
this.
All innocent when they get their Instagram hacked. And what is it? Really?
I know what you were looking at.
I mean, I was probably looking at dirty pictures. I don't know. Some promiscuous women on Instagram. I don't know.
Do you have to pay to get it back?
The Instagram? No, I lost all my followers. I don't even know if you guys are following me anymore.
I follow you.
I haven't seen, you do. Yeah,
I follow your new one.
You do, my new one.
Which, you didn't post anything of your dog.
No, but you didn't. There wasn't a ransom note or anything like that from the hacker, because that does happen.
No, and they hacked all sorts of things. So they hacked, like, my Facebook, which I didn't use, but then I got rid of that. And then they hacked my LinkedIn, which I also didn't use because I've been at the same miserable job for like a decade, two decades, 20 years. So I just got rid of those, but I had to switch my Instagram. So it wasn't fun. But yeah, I mean, they had like some people, apparently listeners, got like ripped off because the person was asking for money and people thought I was the one asking for money. I don't know how stupid people are that they're, you know, giving me money. But anyway, that's, you know, there's some bad people out there.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you're not one of the worst, but you're still pretty bad. Justin, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Go Cavs. I'm rooting for you guys against the Thunder this evening.
Okay, now you're not such a bad guy. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Find him on Twitter at Termini Radio. Find him on Instagram if you can find him.
You have 2 seconds and only 2 seconds to win. This is 2 Second Trivia.
It is time for 2 Second Trivia and your chance to win a 4-pack of Mr. Hero Combo Meals. But you got to win 2 Second Trivia. That's answering 2 seconds or answering 2 questions within 2 seconds each. And if you get them, you win 2 Second Trivia. Are we ready to go, Tone? He is our proctor.
Let's go. All right.
Away we go to Luke in Lakewood, Luke. Home of the Rangers. Luke, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Lima, take it away.
Well, it's a two-way tie, but the Cavaliers have played 35 games this season. Name one of the two players who's played in the most amount of games, all 35.
Donovan.
Sorry. Let's go to Keith in Aurora, home of the Green Men. Keith, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Lima, take it away.
All right, who leads this year? The Cavaliers in minutes per game. As referenced earlier in the show, the coach done a great job limiting those minutes.
Evan Mobley.
Patrick in Cleveland, home of the John Marshall Lawyers. Patrick, are you ready?
I am ready.
Lima, take it away.
All right, they're talking about inclement weather in Texas, where the Cotton Bowl is getting ready to be played on Friday night. Of course, the game is going to be played indoors. What city is that game going to be played in?
Sorry. Ethan and Akron, home of the East Dragons. If we were doing this show in a different year, they'd be called something else. Ethan, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Lima, take it away.
All right, very excited about the upcoming NFL draft. Lots to talk about. We know the Browns have the number 2 pick in the draft. Who has the first pick in the second round of the NFL draft?
The Browns.
Yes! Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen, Ethan is in the barn. Ethan, your chance for a 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Lima, take it away.
The conference near and dear to our hearts on this show, the Mid-American Conference. Also, Baskin and Phelps, big fans as well. A team just left the Mid-American Conference last night, the middle of the night. Which program left the MAC?
Northern Illinois.
Oh my God.
Got it right.
Hey, oh my God.
How did you know?
Right.
How did you know?
How did you get that?
I'm a Big Mac fan. Big OU guy. I did it.
Who's the head coach? Who's the head coach when they beat Notre Dame?
Oh, he already won the Mr. Hero.
Who's the head coach?
Right. Rod. Rod something?
Thomas Hammack.
I wanted to say Haddock.
Looks like a Rod.
Thomas Hammack.
Their season went south after that game, by the way.
They went to a bowl game. Didn't they win?
It was some sort of Volkswagen.
There you go. Ethan, congratulations on this success.
Thank you very much, Ken. Thank you very much.
Ethan and Akron, I put him on hold. Mitch, go ahead and get his information. Make sure, even though you guys didn't win, try Mr. Hero's hottest new crave, the Rockin' Reuben corned beef sour. You can't say corned beef without sounding like me. Let me get through this read, and then I want to say something real quick. Corned beef, sauerkraut, Swiss American cheese, and Thousand Island dressing on a hearth-baked roll. Order in-store or online at MrHero.com. Okay. You can't say corned beef without sounding tubby. You could get The Rock or Jay Cutler to say corned beef, and they're going to sound like, oh, boy, you've been putting on the pounds, haven't you? Corned beef just sounds like a heavy food, and the way it's said.
I had another phase 2 question I didn't think anybody would get.
What was that?
I was going to originally ask who the head coach of Oklahoma City is, coach of the year last year. And then I'm like, that's too hard. Give me the first name of that coach.
That's right.
I was going to give away that it's Dagenault. That's the last name. Can you give me the first name?
Michael?
Close.
What is it?
Mark.
Oh, damn it. Oh, Dagenault.
Get out of here. Dagenault to hell.
Well, I hope you're happy. I have nothing else to talk about in this segment.
You do a coming in hot.
No, I'm kidding.
We've got a coming in hot on line one. Let's see what
Gabe
he's
prepared. Gabe and Ashtabula. Hello, Gabe. Go ahead.
What's up?
What game? I can take two more.
I mean, the Gulf of America has a nice ring to it, doesn't it, boys?
I want to know what Bibb is prepared to do with the Cuyahoga River. It's time to get rid of the humiliation of the river getting set on fire. There's only one way to do it. We have to rebrand it. What is going to be the new name?
The Ashley Babbitt Memorial.
The state of our city is strong, and we're just getting started.
We have the coming in hot button.
Speaking
of the
devil.
If you've got a new name for the Cuyahoga River, now that we're just renaming everything.
Speak of the devil. I was going to get this in.
Let's
I was going to get this in later. Give me Ronayne 02 if you can. Chris Ronayne was on Fox 8 yesterday morning, and they talked about, you know, a new jail and some other projects as well. But this is Cuyahoga County Executive Chris Ronayne, or as Chris Matthews used to say, Cuyahoga County Executive Chris Ronayne playing hardball on Fox 8 Cleveland yesterday, saying the door's still open for a new lakefront stadium.
I would never want to speak for him, but I will say my observations are as the door is still open to a lakefront site. And, you know, as far as Brook Park goes, I think we're all trying to figure out the economics on all this.
Yeah.
You know, as I mentioned at the beginning, we've got children and seniors and a lot of people to take care of in this town.
Sure.
So I have to juggle a lot of competing financial interests. But we feel with collaboration, we can be a part of all of this.
He said at the beginning of that, he met with the Haslams on Monday, is what Chris Ronayne had said. And now the executive of Cuyahoga County says that...
Wait, so they got an exit meeting with Haslam, too? Hey, now that you guys know you're losing battle and we're moving to Brook Park, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Did they call him Has?
Yeah. Did Rodney get
Wait
to sit in on this?
He's still the county executive. He didn't lose anything. Brook Park is in
Ronayne doesn't seem thrilled about this idea.
Well, I've left several Easter eggs of why I believe, and many others believe the same, but you guys can pick them up where it is. It's not that hard to figure out why. It really isn't. Do you think there is a chance at all, or is that...
I haven't really
They could always just sell the 176 acres if they wanted to, because you do think about this. If they get... If all of a sudden, you know, the state comes in and they get a great deal... And they could turn right around and say, hey, you know, I'm an indoor stadium. Want to build an indoor stadium, go right on ahead. I've been pro indoor stadium, which I think it could be really loud. I think it could be a deafening situation if the Browns ever get good, right? But say they get a great deal and they can get a lakefront stadium. You already have. They look at it. They're already going to redo that area with the training facility.
Yeah.
That whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot here. We could also have a lot up there. Go right on ahead and do it. Like, I would still say I don't think there's much of a chance, but there is. That's a possibility. They could just turn right around and sell 176 acres to somebody, or hold on to it and develop it in their own way. I don't know what they could do with it, but they could figure something out.
It seems also the timeline. If they want to have football for 2029, now I don't know how set in stone that timeline is. Things can get pushed back. Things you can always extend your lease, you know, on things. And also, you know, would that mean would the Browns potentially play football somewhere else for a few years? They wouldn't really have to, right? If they're moving to another location that isn't the Brook Park location, you can just keep playing where it is. There's a lot to factor in. It just always seemed from day one that the people with more political capital, the Haslams, people with more money, the Haslams, people with control of the team, the Haslams, they're always ultimately going to get what they want.
Yeah.